Operation Fulfillment is our project. The fivefold path of the cosmic scriptures is the means. It is not enough that this message be believed. It is a message to be lived. Believe what you experience. Agnihotra generates an atmosphere of healing and peace in the home. Introduction. Everyone yearns for happiness and tries to achieve it in their own way. However, if someone is asked, "Have you ever met a person who is always happy?" the answer will be no. When asked again, "Have you ever heard of a person who is always happy?" the answer will again be negative. Isn't it surprising that, although every human being strives to be happy, we rarely hear of a person who is truly happy? We don't have to look far to find the causes. The day we are born as human beings, we inherit everything we need to achieve happiness, but we have forgotten this inheritance. It's like the son of a millionaire who begs for a few coins because he doesn't know his father. If you let your happiness depend on some future event, this clearly means that you refuse to be happy in the present. After all, the event you hope or desire may or may not occur, and in the meantime, you remain unhappy. Of the various things you desire, you will only achieve a few, and if you get into the habit of letting your happiness depend on the fulfillment of some desire, you will never become happy. According to the law of karma, the law of you reap what you sow, destiny unfolds various events throughout our lives. However, we can train the mind to modify its reactions to external circumstances. Happiness depends on the mind's reactions to external circumstances, therefore, training the mind to transform it constitutes the essence of the discipline of the divine path. It can be said that there is nothing spiritual about it. If you wish to make life's journey a mission of joy, it is easy to understand that discipline will be required. This must be simple, scientific, and within the reach of the average person. The fivefold path of the Vedas, presented in these pages, takes into account all these aspects of the psychosomatic human being. It is presented ready to use, like instant coffee, fast food, or express photo processing in 1 hour. It offers a quick solution that meets all needs. It is the foundation of the teachings of all saints and prophets. Train the mind to change its attitude, and happiness will emerge. Let us learn to fill this moment with love, nothing more is required. Let us fill every areas with love. The mind can be a cruel tyrant. Let's train it to become an obedient servant. One can clap hands or sing psalms, but until one begins to practice love your neighbor as yourself, there will be no progress. This is the fundamental teaching of ancient wisdom. The Spanish word divina, divine in English, comes from the Sanskrit verb dyu, which means to shine. What is known in Sanskrit as the Devayan Panth, in Spanish is the divine path, which means path of light. The discipline that transforms the mind from an instrument of enslavement into an instrument of divine unfoldment is the fivefold path. With the renewal of the mind, wisdom emerges. This is the path of light, the divine path. All this knowledge is given through the Vedas. It is written in Sanskrit, the mother language of all European and other languages. For example, the word Vedas comes from the Sanskrit verb wit, which means to know. The English word wit comes from the same root. All the world's languages have words derived from Sanskrit, however, no Sanskrit word comes from any other language. Knowledge of various sciences was first given through the Vedas. Astronomy, biology, bioenergetics, medicine, bacteriology, and several others have been revealed through this ancient wisdom. However, unless we are prepared to shed superstitions and prejudices, we will not truly benefit from the wealth of Vedic knowledge. A scientist of the late 20th century is better able to understand the wisdom of the Vedas than anyone else. If you look at the description of the universe given by a late 20th century astronomer, you'll notice that it's veering toward Vedic knowledge. Analogous cases are those of the scientist who enunciated the uncertainty principle, the one who photographed the bioplasmatic body, or the one who recognized the interaction of subtle energies. A beginning in this new direction was made when scientists recognized the limitations of human reason. The methods of experimental science have demolished the imaginary barriers that separated what was understood as spiritual from the material. The scientist of the future will have to be a yogi to probe deeply into the mystery of creation. The time has come when the terms immanence and transcendence will become part of the scientist's lexicon. The days of the parish priest are numbered. From now on, the light of knowledge will illuminate all human minds. This is a very opportune time for us to practice the heliography, pattern or easy guide, of cosmic wisdom revealed through the Vedas, the oldest wisdom known to mankind. This knowledge is not the monopoly of any country or community, it is the common heritage of humanity, imparted through a language as old as creation itself. There's no point in talking about a future paradise if you can't be happy here and now. Nature has no favorites, and you will reap what you sow. The fivefold path of Vedic wisdom is the blueprint for a happy life on earth. The path is laid out, however, each of us must draw the map. What religion calls grace is nothing but the operation of the fundamental law of cosmic scriptures that states, "Worry about your karma and the rest will take care of itself." Give your mind the full coloration of love. This is the divine path, the path of light. The fivefold path. Asterisk practice Agnihotra. For the purification of the atmosphere, this leads to the relief of the mind. Asterisk practice Dana, sharing your possessions in a spirit of humility, to reduce attachment to worldly possessions. Asterisk practice Tapa, self-discipline, for the fruition of your affirmations. Asterisk practice karma. Good deeds without attachment to the fruit derived from them, for self-purification. Asterisk practice swadhyaya. Self-study, who am I, for liberation. This is the fivefold path. Begin spiritual discipline today. Our lifespan will not be lengthened. What has been given to you is to be used wisely in every moment of your existence. Let us commit ourselves to meritorious actions without expecting reward, whether in the form of name or fame. We can only live in the present moment. The past no longer exists, and the future has not yet been. Don't waste precious moments on trivialities. Practice the fivefold path and you will become a better member of your family or community. It will help you be a Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, Zoroastrian, Sikh, or Jain, whatever the formal label of your religion. One can be an atheist or an agnostic and still benefit from practicing the fivefold path. The fivefold path establishes life patterns based on biopsychological techniques, given through Vedic knowledge. To practice it, you don't need to believe in God. Begin to practice it, and knowledge will be revealed to you from within. Believe only what you experience. That is the approach of a true scientist. 1. Agnihotra. The simplest form of yajna. The ancient science of bioenergy, taught through the Vedas, states that there are countless millions of solar systems, of which our planet is a tiny dot. The useful atmosphere layer surrounding our planet Earth is very thin. Any change induced in this stratum automatically leads to a corresponding change in prana, the vital energy that pulsates through us all and connects us to the cosmos. Prana and the mind can be considered two sides of the same coin, and therefore, a change in the atmosphere will automatically be transferred to the domain of the mind. The Vedic science of yajna states that the mind is affected by the rhythms of nature, which in turn correspond to the undulations of our planet. Yajna is a process based on biorhythms, which imprison man. Various rhythms of nature corresponding to the rotation of the earth and other celestial bodies affect the human body and mind. Burning specific substances in fire and reciting certain mantras under the influence of certain rhythms of nature produce specific effects in the atmosphere. This is the modus operandi of yajna. The resulting effect is transferred to the domain of the mind, calming it. Our happiness depends on the mind's reactions, and therefore, yajna is a material aid to achieving a happy life. Agnihotra is the simplest form of yajna based on one of the circadian rhythms corresponding to sunrise and sunset. At sunrise, all the fires, electricity, ethers, and more subtle energies that emanate from it extend to the earth and produce a flooding effect at those coordinates where the sun is said to rise. This flood is impressive. It vitalizes and purifies everything in its path, destroying everything impure. This torrent of life-sustaining energies causes every living being to rejoice. At sunrise, that music can be heard. The morning Agnihotra mantra is the essence of that melody. It is the quintessential sound of that flood. At sunset, that flood recedes. For this reason, the burning of specific substances and the utterance of the mantra must be synchronized with the times of sunrise and sunset. This, in short, is Agnihotra, the simplest yajna that anyone, regardless of their occupation, can practice with a little effort. The fire should be prepared in a pyramid-shaped copper brazier. The metal and the shape have an effect on subtle energies that induce changes in the atmosphere, which, in turn, lead to beneficial changes in the mind. Agnihotra is a great material help to unburden the mind, and with it one begins to feel free. This leads to satisfaction in life, since the mind is driven to react with love. Agnihotra is also a fumigation process that affects the concentration of pathogenic bacteria. The Agnihotra atmosphere nourishes plant life. Its effect on plants can be observed within 3 weeks if they are kept in the room where Agnihotra is practiced regularly. The effect of Agnihotra on plants can also be observed when it is practiced outdoors. Plants grow well, are strengthened, and are nourished. Sick plants are healed. The Agnihotra atmosphere leads to better absorption of the sun's rays by the planet's water resources, thus maintaining the planet's energy cycle within rhythm. Air pollution has a devastating effect on the human body and mind. This is why we witness so much unhappiness despite the existing material abundance. Agnihotra reverses this entire process, and you feel free and happy. If you practice Agnihotra, you could very well say goodbye to psychiatric problems. Once the tension on the mind has diminished, it becomes more focused. This is why Agnihotra is a great material aid to achieving happiness. Our breathing is related to the phases of the moon. A distinct change in breathing rhythm occurs exactly at sunrise. If you are asleep at that time, the change will not occur as nature intended. Practicing Agnihotra automatically ensures that the change in rhythm will be synchronized with it. This prevents imbalance in balance and therefore reduces the susceptibility to disease. The practice of Agnihotra leads to a happy state of mind, and you automatically begin to experience more love. Anger and envy diminish, and what cannot be achieved by reading several books or listening to various sermons is achieved in a short time through the practice of Agnihotra. Agnihotra makes you a better member of your family. The reason is simple: it is the transformation of the mind. Agnihotra is a precise technique for the psychophysiological victory over passion and greed. Thousands of families around the world, on every continent, are practicing Agnihotra. Pollution from automobiles, industrial smokestacks, water pollution, noise pollution, nuclear radiation, and many others have dangerously disrupted the useful layer of the atmosphere around our planet. Many species of birds and fish are disappearing. All plant life is in a state of misery. The ancient science of Vedic medicine called Ayurveda states that if the atmosphere is completely devoid of the nutrients provided by yajnas, we experience harmful changes in the atmosphere, the seasonal cycle is disrupted, and the medicinal qualities of plants deteriorate. Ayurveda comes from Atharvaveda, which describes the science of bacteriology. Modern medicine is slowly shifting toward Vedic medicine and is becoming aware of the fact that subtle atmospheric forces, about which little is known, influence health. Many biological activities are related to the rotation of our planet around the sun. This leads to fluctuations in intensity, affecting the capacity for self-realization. Manic depression, hypertension, and several other disorders are influenced by changes in biological activity that occur due to the planet's wave cycles. Agnihotra is based on one such cycle called the circadian rhythm, the rhythm around a day. The specific conditions of nature at the critical points of sunrise and sunset, the effect of burning certain substances in a brazier of a prescribed metal, which has a set shape and size, and the emission of specific vibrations, produce a combined effect on the atmosphere. This affects our biological functioning and propels the mind in the direction of love. If practiced regularly as part of the fivefold path, meditation will improve, and the time will come when no special sitting will be required for meditation. All the mind's reactions will spring from love. Today, we realize that there are more diseases, despite the advances made in medical science. There is more cancer, leukemia, and respiratory illnesses. We see old diseases in new forms and new diseases that resist a solution. Atmospheric pollution disrupts the functioning of prana, and since prana and the mind are like two sides of the same coin, the disturbance is transferred to the domain of the mind. We witness how difficult it is for two honest, intelligent, and well-intentioned people to get along. There is more conflict, alienation, disunity, and disruption in family life. Overcrowded psychiatric clinics bear witness to this. The practice of Agnihotra means saying goodbye to psychiatry. The mind is a subtle substance, and Agnihotra gives it a boost to move in the direction of love. When our vehicle is stuck in the mud, we need something to pull or push it. When the mind falls into the rut of habits, repeated actions, the practice of Agnihotra allows it to break out of it and absorb new reinforcements of tapa, self-discipline. Through the practice of Agnihotra, one will experience a decrease in anxiety and tension while being catapulted into a state of joy. This facilitates the journey on the path of light. 2. Dana. Share your possessions with a spirit of humility. To achieve happiness, we must learn to eliminate factors that cause mental tension. The practice of Agnihotra reduces tension, thus lessening anger and greed. Agnihotra and Dana are two material aids to a happy life. What is Dana? Dana is sharing your possessions with a spirit of humility. Learn to share a portion of your income and possessions with others. This is Dana. Dana isn't just about giving cash or material possessions. It involves several disciplines, and if they're not observed, Dana becomes nothing more than a donation. We practice Dana to reduce our attachment to worldly possessions. Such attachment creates great mental tension and makes it difficult for us to achieve happiness. A rich man possesses many things and is attached to them, while a poor man has nothing but yearns for what he doesn't have. Because of attachment, both tend to prioritize unhappiness. The practice of Dana helps eliminate the tension that comes from attachment. Dana has the following disciplines. 1. You give Dana because it is your duty to do so. This means that the person you give to is not the one who should be grateful. It is you who should be grateful to the person who accepts your gift. They are the instrumental cause that allows you to transform your mind, and therefore it is you who should be grateful to them. 2. Don't give Dana to gain a name or fame. If you give cash or material possessions for a specific name or fame, it's not Dana. Dana should be performed in secret, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you share this with others, you're likely to fuel their pride and thereby fail to achieve your goal of eliminating tension. 3. Everyone desires happiness, and therefore everyone should share their possessions with a spirit of humility. Both a rich man and a poor man must give. Likewise, both a rich man and a poor man can receive Dana. 4. Dana must be done with our own income. 5. The person to whom you give must be the appropriate person. A hungry person is the appropriate person to receive food. A person in need of basic necessities is the appropriate person to receive in kind or cash. In all other cases, Dana should be performed on those who, in your judgment, normally practice good morals. If you give Dana to someone who, in your opinion, is likely to use it for wrong purposes, then it is not Dana. Not only will you not have done a good deed, but you are also involved in an evil deed. By contributing to pushing them towards something wrong, you become a participant in their crime. If Dana is performed on a wealthy person, they will likely spend the amount on Dana, adding some of their own. If Dana is performed on a poor person, they will likely spend it on good works. If Dana is given to a saint, you can always be sure that they will use it for the benefit of society. Use your best judgment in this matter. Money, in English and Spanish, is called currency. The word is not stagnation. It means that, like the current of a river, it must keep moving. That's dana. What happens if you practice dana with all the disciplines it entails? You start with $100 and within a short time receive back a little over $100 in cash or some material benefit. This is a superphysical law of nature and is therefore inviolable. Therefore, dana is a material aid to achieving happiness. You will also notice that in times of need, things will come to you without having asked for them. More importantly, you will not feel stressed when things are not going well materially, as you acquire the habit of detaching yourself from worldly possessions. Agnihotra and dana, the first two aspects of the fivefold path, propel the mind in the right direction, improving its ability to choose between right and wrong. It also strengthens your will to act according to the judgment given by your power of discernment, and thus you are helped to break out of a vicious circle and enter a virtuous one. The greatest impetus in this direction comes from Agnihotra, as it completely changes the coloration of the mind, facilitating its journey along the next three aspects of the fivefold path. 3. Tapa. Self-discipline. Tapa is the third aspect of the fivefold path to happy living. Tapa is the self-discipline you have voluntarily imposed upon yourself with the full cooperation of your mind and intellect. As we cross the river of life, there are six crocodiles that disturb us: passion, anger, greed, attachment, pride, and envy. We will not become happy unless the difficulties they present us are reduced. The constant pursuit of material objects will never lead to the distapi of worthwhile solutions to our problems. Problems multiply, generating an internal mechanism that defies any solution. They are only resolved through the practice of tapa. Tapa sensitizes the body, harmonizes the flow of prana, and strengthens the power of will. The resistance that the body and mind offer to the search for the path of light is broken, and the bodily vehicle becomes a more sensitive instrument of consciousness. Control over the body brings about harmony between the intellect and emotions. This is tapa, the process of character formation through discipline. Tapa is an effort to exercise control over prana, the vital energy that connects us to the cosmos and pulsates through us. Control over prana means control over the mind. Tapa places us in a state where, as a result of love, fear is absent. Tapa fosters absolute humility, which empowers our journey on the path of light. Tapa grants us true understanding, in which love is synthesized with discipline, and duty takes on the full color of bliss. Tapa enhances our perception and grants us the ability to comprehend the vicissitudes of life. Through the practice of tapa, we endure life's unpleasant situations with fortitude and experience pleasurable ones without passion. Tapa soothes the mind by transforming attitudes. Tapa releases the latent powers within us and makes them manifest. Creative powers and true knowledge emerge through tapa. If we remain unattached to these creative powers and without yearning for them, we will move to higher states of consciousness. Tapa is like fire that finds its own way of spreading. Tapa makes us understand the ephemeral nature of material conditions, which reduces our attachment. From then on, the source of joy springs forth, relegating mental agony, anxiety, and tension to the limbo of the past. If one desire is fulfilled, it leads to 9 more. If it is not fulfilled, it leads to anger. Thus, a fulfilled desire leads to a thirst for more desires, and an unfulfilled desire leads to anger. What is the solution? A person feels that the moment of gratification of their desire is the culmination of their happiness, however, a little deeper examination will show us that it is not the gratification of desire that causes this happy state of mind, but rather the eradication of desire that makes them happy. The burden of desire no longer exists on the mind, and therefore they feel happy. If we are able to achieve the state of happiness through eradication, then we have done our work. We eradicate a desire, for example, if we redirect its energy toward a higher purpose, such as service without expectation. There is a difference between appetite and hunger. Hunger is a natural demand of the body. Suppose one afternoon you have overeaten and go for a walk. While walking through the streets, you pass a restaurant. Looking through the window, you see a delicious meal being cooked inside. Your sight is stimulated. You continue a few steps. A gust of breeze brings you the smell of food and soft music coming from inside. Your hearing is stimulated. These stimulants create an appetite. He calmly enters the restaurant and serves himself to his liking. However, the momentary satisfaction of his heart is not shared by his overloaded stomach, which contributes to poor health. If someone insults you or says something bad about you, or you imagine they have done so, you get angry. If, as a result, you were to decide to cut off your fingers, you would be called a fool. Now, consider what happens when you get angry. Your pupils dilate and your breathing quickens. Your metabolism is compromised, your endocrine system is disrupted. This strains the nervous system and disturbs the mind. Isn't this similar to cutting off your own fingers, or worse? What do you gain by getting angry? You harm yourself and in no way amend the person you believe is the cause of your problem. Therefore, the intellect tells us that we shouldn't get angry. However, the mind has already created certain routines that form habit grooves, and it needs to be trained to break out of these habits. This is tapa. The practice of Agnihotra greatly assists in this endeavor. Most misunderstandings and disputes arise because we cannot control our tongue. From there, we could start practicing some things. The list is not exhaustive, but merely illustrative. Don't be important while you talk. Don't use harsh, resentful language. The truth can be spoken in a pleasant way. Don't indulge in slander. By describing the faults of others, you want to show your superiority. Avoid this. Talking consumes a lot of energy. We should learn to conserve it. If someone speaks ill of another person in your absence, treat them like an uninvited guest. Free yourself from the habit of blaming others when things don't happen the way you want. Never speak ill of others. You create negative thought patterns that affect you, weakening your mental fibers. Don't adopt a self-righteous attitude. One wrong thought, word, or action creates a groove in the mind, so that your future thoughts, words, or actions tend to flow in a similar way. This puts a great burden on the mind. When we're upset, we feel we need to get away from this state of mind and be happy. Happiness should be a natural state of mind. This is possible when all our reactions to external conditions flow from love. In fact, when the mind has acquired the total coloration of love, the journey along the path of light, the divine path, is almost complete. The methods for achieving this state are tapa. From the cradle to the grave, vanity takes a heavy toll on mental energy. Because of vanity, we are unable to see another's point of view. Opinion is ultimately a result of the intellect expressing itself as a mental attitude. There may be several attitudes, of which ours will be only one. Religious dogmatism is the worst kind of vanity, and it has taken a heavy toll on humanity. The inflated ego struts onto the stage of life, and we feel miserable at every point of friction. Vanity breeds presumption and intolerance. Because of vanity, our mistakes are disguised as virtues. So-called self-righteousness is also a manifestation of the ego. Vanity is the breeding ground in which fanaticism, orthodoxy, dogma, and cultism thrive. Intolerance never admits its mistakes and invents endless defenses for its misdeeds. Anger and vanity thrive side by side. Therefore, practice the following. Do not crave name or fame. Do not make a vulgar display of your possessions or academic attire. Avoid talking about yourself. Listen more. Talk less. We have two ears, but only one tongue. In conversations, avoid dogmatic assertions of self-affirmation. Be humble. Humility is the hallmark of a person on the divine path. Don't try to pretend to be something you're not. Strive to become what you want others to see you as. Envy is feeling resentment or discontent with the success of others. Envy coexists with prejudiced hostility or animosity. Envy blinds us to our own blessings. Envy clouds the intellect and disfigures the mind. Envy prevents us from discriminating between good and evil. The law of karma is inviolable, and therefore there is no room for envy. To overcome it, learn to be happy with the success of others. Sex, when given free rein, turns into lust. When sex becomes an instrument of self-indulgence, much energy is lost and the will is weakened. The more trapped by sex we are, the more clouded our intellect becomes. Passion haunts all of humanity and keeps people in a state of torment. It dangles the carrot of pleasurable sensations before us and makes us work like the donkey in the adage. When the sap has been squeezed out, we are ready for the trash can. When sex is not channeled, it envelopes the mind, and the entire sensory apparatus is enslaved to that end. Sex then acts like a parasite on the entire organism. This leads to violent emotional disturbances. Tapa consists of restoring the sexual instinct to its natural function and leaving emotions under the control of the intellect. Greed chains us to phenomenal objects, consuming all our energy on trivial things. That same energy must be channeled toward higher achievements. Initially, a person begins to accumulate material things as a means to live comfortably. Later, they are drawn into the habit of accumulating things for the sake of it. People try to adopt methods that are not entirely honest to acquire wealth, not realizing that they will have to reap what they sow. Just for a moment, consider what all this is for. It only tightens the chain of desires around us and strangles us even more. To eliminate the tension that comes from attachment from the mind, practice dana, the second aspect of the fivefold path. Keep in mind that wealth is only a means to an end, not the end itself. If stealing is a sin, so is accumulating material objects without the habit of giving. Tapa is training the mind. This training can be approached from several angles, such as elimination of mental tensions originating in the body. The practice of yoga asanas, physical postures, is helpful in this regard. Elimination of mental tensions arising from the inharmonious flow of prana, vital energy, through the nervous system. Pranayama, rhythmic yogic breathing, helps eliminate these tensions. Yoga asanas and pranayama lead to good health and a greater capacity for fulfillment. Elimination of mental tensions originating from air pollution. Agnihotra is the most scientific method for eliminating these tensions and simultaneously nourishing the plant life around us. Elimination of mental tensions caused by bad habit patterns. To do this, we must first confront the six crocodiles mentioned above. The mind is trapped in the ruts created by habits that require a great expenditure of energy for purposes that take us away from the divine path, the path of light. You like to eat your favorite dish because it brings you moments of happiness. He enjoys reading a novel, watching television, or playing pool because they provide him with moments of happiness. However, he soon tires of these external stimulants. Their ability to make him happy becomes minimal. Later, they sometimes even irritate you. Through the practice of tapa, you will realize that external stimulants are not required and that you can be constantly happy when the light shines within you. This mental training, or tapa, requires the cooperation of the intellect. The methods should be within the reach of the average person. The fivefold path presented here considers all the aforementioned aspects of the psychosomatic human being and teaches new biopsychological habit patterns that act as reinforcements for tapa. Tapa purifies the body and mind and enables us to become aware of more subtle aspects of behavior. It strengthens our perception and improves the evaluation of that perception. This translates into better action. When the mind has been purged of these six crocodiles, awareness emerges. This is knowledge transformed into wisdom. We enter higher levels of consciousness and feel love for all creation. This is happiness that is not followed by unhappiness. Tapa is the key that unlocks hidden treasure and helps us focus more closely on our journey on the path of light. Travelers on the path of light experience intellectual enlightenment, peace of mind, and total joy. Tapa empowers us to perform better in any situation life presents, as we reach a higher state of consciousness, where universal love is the primary value. The kingdom of light is within you. This is the eternal truth. Love is the key to this kingdom. 4. Karma. Action. Karma is the fourth aspect of the fivefold path. The physical law of cause and effect, when translated to more subtle levels, is the law of karma. It is the law of what you sow, you reap. The law of karma leaves no room for fatalism. It states that you are the one who sows the seed and in turn, you are the one who reaps its fruits. You are the one who makes or thwarts your own future. Your present circumstances, whether seemingly pleasant or unpleasant, are the result of your past actions. This clearly means that the efforts you make in the present moment determine what you will be in the future. It could be said that all of life is governed by the law of karma. Karma is like an immense trap in which we are all caught, even though the bonds are helpful. We cannot remain inactive, even for a moment. The action can be physical or mental. If you reap what you sow, the chain of karma seems endless. However, the law of karma maintains that if you act without attachment to the fruits of your action, then it does not bind you and does not forge a chain of future harvests. Only by performing good deeds, without attachment, can we escape this trap of karma. The law of karma cannot be evaded. If you have an evil thought about someone and that person doesn't know it, you could be considered a gentleman. However, if you understood the consequences of this single evil thought, you wouldn't risk having it. By merely having an evil thought, you are creating a tiger that will constantly roar at you. The karmic bond is subtle, but inevitable. What you sow, you shall reap. If you say you'll be good to another person only if they are good to you, then you're passing the initiative into the hands of others. It would be foolish to do so. You're obligated to reap what you sow, and therefore you must take care to sow good seeds and not wild weeds. If you think someone has hurt you or spoken ill of you, don't be too quick to criticize them. The law of karma operates in a limited way. Your first consideration should be that perhaps you are reaping what you sowed in the past. Perhaps you are settling some previous karmic debt. If you develop this habit, you won't get involved again in the bad sowing that you would have to reap. The laws of the superphysical realm are as real as those of the physical domain. They are inviolable. If you pretend to ignore them, you risk great harm to yourself. If someone asks you to jump from a skyscraper, you will say no, because you trust that the law of gravity operates and you will hurt yourself. Even if you don't believe in the law of gravity believes in you, and you will act. However, people are unaware of the law of you reap as you sow, which is a law of the superphysical realm, and therefore do not hesitate to act wrongly. The superphysical law does believe in people, so they will have to pay the price for their actions. You can pay before or after, but you have to pay. Any intense karma, whether good or bad, comes to fruition in a short time. Devotion to a high master who has transcended the law of karma and obedience to his commandments is intense good karma. This purifies the mind and reduces the anguish of previous bad karma. We require the guidance and blessings of a high master to become aware of the light within us. He leads us toward the light. The light is merely the revelation. The unfolding that occurs when the six crocodiles mentioned in the previous chapter, referring to tapa, gradually weaken and disappear. The journey toward the light is the divine path. Elementary physics postulates the law of cause and effect. However, when physics enters the realm of microparticles, that is, quantum physics, we recognize that the law of cause and effect as we normally understand it does not operate. This is sometimes defined as the faith of indeterminacy. However, this indeterminacy is sustained by a will. The omnipotent God that religions often call God. The law of karma states, repent and you will be forgiven. That is grace. It can be compared to the nullification of the law of cause and effect in the field of microparticles, where so-called indeterminism acts as a manifestation of the Almighty Divine Will. When the mind takes on the total coloration of love, we enter a higher state of consciousness, and grace operates. Love and attachment are two different things. Love without attachment clears the mind of all previous ruts, and then the law of grace operates. Act for self-purification. Let there be no ego in this, the role of I must be eliminated. Then one will become a more suitable instrument of that omnipotent divine will. The reactions of one's mind, in the face of all circumstances and conditions, take on the full coloration of love. Love is the alchemy that transmutes the baser instincts, then one's journey on the divine path, the path of light, will be complete. When told to do karma for self-purification, one might wonder, will this eliminate all fun from my life? Will I be able to enjoy this world if I have to do every action for self-purification? On the contrary, one might ask, to what extent am I enjoying the world now that I'm not guided by this purification? Despite material abundance, there is so much unhappiness. Illness and psychiatry are consuming the sap of life. So much pain surrounds us. No one seems to live in a state of happiness that isn't followed by one of unhappiness. It's always just tingling sensations of pleasure followed by much pain. Unhappiness is the symptom of illness, and illness is captivity, attachment. The mold of destiny has given each person a different location, therefore, whatever work is assigned to you, do it with a spirit of service, do it with love. Say to yourself, this is the work I am supposed to do at this time. For this reason, it is my duty to do it. I do my duty. Then there is no attachment to the fruit of one's actions. You feel freer to take action and therefore fill every moment with joy. This state of mind spreads joy around you and makes others happy. You feel that if you're in a bind, you have no one to blame but yourself. By performing every action with love, you know you can overcome the situation. The result of an action you performed in the past becomes your destiny in the future. An action performed yesterday becomes your destiny today, and an action from the moment just past will become your destiny for this moment. It's always what you sow, you reap. A mouse sees a piece of cheese 10 meters away. He says to himself, if I perform the action of walking toward the piece of cheese, I must get it. The poor creature doesn't realize that there are 100 other mice chasing the same piece of cheese, and that there are a dozen cats ready to pounce on them all. Therefore, he says, the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray. The outcome of your action depends on several factors you don't know. Imagine a field with several cars and people told to drive however they want. It would be chaos, wouldn't it? The resulting karma depends on several factors you don't know. Destiny is the unfolding of the fruition of past karma. The unfolding of destiny must be considered within the context of the flow of the omnipotent will. Through the proper use of free will, that is, through the performance of intense good karma without attachment, the pangs of destiny disappear. There's nothing we can do about the past. Can the unhappiness yet to come be avoided? That's the question. The answer is affirmative, it is emphatically yes. The fivefold path offers you the material and mental aids to achieve this state. Past sanskaras, impressions, can be erased through the practice of tapa. Intellect and action affect each other. Bad actions weaken the intellect's power to choose between right and wrong. Bad actions weaken our ability to continue acting well despite being provoked, as a furrow forms in the mind. A clouded intellect pushes us to commit wrong actions again. This is how we become entangled in a series of bad karmas, bad sowings that we will have to reap. Even when there are bad thoughts, try not to translate them into actions. Thoughts will certainly have their effects, but action will only make the situation worse. Someone given to vice and greed needs money, he sees someone's wallet, opens it, and sees $100. He's a novice, and his conscience bothers him. He says to himself, I'll take only 20. It's really not right to steal money. He takes $20 and returns the rest to his wallet. This wrong action weakens his powers of discernment, and the next time he takes $80 and returns 20, saying, let the lady have some money to take the taxi home. This again weakens his ability to discern between right and wrong. The third time, he takes all the money, saying, "Oh, to hell with it. Everyone does it. Why should I worry?" However, one day he will have to pay for his bad karma. Thoughts precede actions. Therefore, purification must extend to the thinking process. The mere intention to change our behavior is not enough. It must be supported by determined practice. Good thoughts produce their effect, but when they are put into action, a mechanism begins to operate in the most subtle realm, and this strengthens our willpower. People confuse charity with love. There are thousands of people who dedicate their time, money, and labor to serving their neighbors without making great progress on the divine path, the path of light. Why? It's because they haven't learned to do so without the egocentrism that revolves around the personality. If we accustom ourselves to offering all the fruits of our actions to the Master who guides us on the divine path, we avoid this danger, and each of our works is transformed into worship. Agnihotra prompts the mind in that direction. Good karma establishes a new pattern in the mind, which reinforces the power of good thoughts. Therefore, it is necessary to make an effort to change the pattern of habits that we believe are not in harmony with our progress on the divine path. If a person is wise, it doesn't require much willpower to act correctly. If someone offers us pleasant and tasty food, but we discover that it contains a drop of poison, it doesn't require much willpower to reject it. Similarly, if we are aware that the law of as you sow, you will reap is inviolable, it doesn't require much willpower to desist from wrongdoing. The ability to discriminate and choose between right and wrong is granted to us from the day we are born as human beings. The capacity to exercise this power varies from person to person, depending on the accumulation of past impressions, which are the result of their previous actions. However, through the practice of the fivefold path, we gain the strength necessary to erase past impressions. The proper and judicious use of this power gives greater security to our journey on the path of light. A desire arises as an attitude that then manifests. This produces disturbance, as it creates a sense of need. If allowed to continue for some time, this attitude becomes a tendency. A signal is then sent to the intellect to distape the means to satisfy that desire. The mind is colored by that desire, which then acts like a wave. To stem this flow requires some effort. This effort can be physical or mental. Sometimes it's difficult to stem this flow, even for yogis. This wave leads to action, which is gratification. Either way, in this process, certain impressions are created in the mind, and our next thought and action tend to spring from this groove. Agnihotra and Dana are the two material supports to help us curb this wave if it's headed in the wrong direction. Tapa is mental effort. The following suggestions will help you in your progress on the path of light. You work 40 hours a week for the boss. Work a few hours for yourself. Spend this time in the company of your fellow travelers on the path of light. Do some work with them or for them, without receiving any material benefit from this work. Never covet name or fame. It doesn't matter if people respect you. Make sure you properly respect others. Do not discuss in public about your own progress on the divine path or about your master, who guides you on that path. As you move through the world, doing what you consider your duty, strive to be content. Say to yourself, "I have done my duty. There is nothing better I can do." Treat all your assets, visible and invisible, as a credit and place your master, who leads you by the hand along the path of light, at the center of all your activities. Avoid discussing other people's faults. Don't waste your time arguing with others over and over about matters related to your job, profession, service, etc. Choose a set time each day to sit in silence, with your eyes closed, to practice meditation. Avoid overeating, oversleeping, excessive talking, and excessive worrying. Take note of how much energy is wasted on exuberance in sex. Earn more money. Take care of the name and fame. Worrying about things. People exhaust themselves more from worry than from work. Learn to conserve this energy by directing it inward to meditate on your master and the light within you. Avoid ruminating, remembering over and over again, about sins committed in the past. 6. Financial or other material losses. Fame and name that could have been gained in the past. Bodily illnesses that bother you. Karma is sometimes considered under three aspects. Karma, good deed. Akarma, bad action. Vikarma, specific work assigned to a person. To discover what karma and akarma are, you don't need to consult your neighbor. The books of ancient wisdom, the prophets, and the literature of the saints tell us what karma and akarma are. However, vikarma, the specific work assigned to a person, is only known when you find a master who has walked the path of light and has the ability not only to point you out, but to take you by the hand and help you walk it. Such a master is called a Sadguru. The company of travelers on the path of light, who strive to cast aside all prejudices and fill every moment with love, is called Satsang. The company of such people facilitates the journey on the path of light. Purification of the mind is not necessarily achieved through intellectual exercise. It is possible that the sharpest intellect can lead to deception. Hence, it is the purification of the intellect that is important on the path of light. This purification occurs when the difficulties caused by the six crocodiles diminish. Purification consists of escaping the clutches of desire that constantly haunt us. Purification is not achieved by accumulating knowledge from an increasing number of branches of science. Purification begins by reducing attachments to worldly possessions. This accustoms us to always performing good karma. The proper use of free will is the only way to escape the trap of karma. The proper use of free will means learning to reduce attachments to our actions and doing things with a spirit of service. It means reducing the mind's habit of craving pleasure through sense gratification. The source of bliss is within you. The divine kingdom, the kingdom of light, is within you. One might ask, how do I find my master? The answer is simple. When the disciple is ready, the master appears. There are various degrees of masters, all of them are too high for us all. When you begin to tread this divine path, things will come to you in silence. They will be revealed to you from within. You will recognize the signs. A true master, a Sadguru, will help you become a better member of your religion, a better follower of your prophet. You can look at the water from your own window. The Sadguru will help you see the depth of water. When you glimpse the depth of vision, you will come to know that the depth of vision is the same, no matter which window you look from. The kingdom of light is within you. The master puts you in touch with the unplayed music of creation, which you will hear from within. This accelerates the process of purification of the mind, and the kingdom of light will shine in all its glory. Then, you will realize that there is another world waiting to welcome you. It is eternal bliss. This world is not a place in space, it is here and now. 5. Swadhyaya. Self-study. Swadhyaya. It is the fifth aspect of the divine path, the path of light. If someone tells you to believe in something because the majority does, say no. Most people believed that the sun revolved around the earth. Galileo said the opposite, and he was right. If someone asks you to believe in something because various religious scriptures mention it, say no. The scriptures may have been interpolated, the translations may have been erroneous, and thirdly, the people interpreting them may be speaking without having experienced the truth they contain. Believe only what you experience. Say to yourself, this is my experience of the divine path. If any great prophet says similar things, he must have had similar experiences. This is the attitude of a scientist, this is Swadhyaya. You enjoy a delicious cake. You eat it and feel happy. If you have three more slices, you'll lose your joy and may even feel bored. You feel like watching TV or playing billiards. You do it and feel happy. If you do it for a couple of hours, you feel like getting away from it. What you called happiness a few minutes ago has become a source of unease. Find out if happiness lies in the tongue when you eat the cake, or does it lie somewhere beyond the tongue? This quest is Swadhyaya. You don't ask for afflictions, yet they are constant companions in life. You long to be happy, yet you experience an ounce of happiness followed by a ton of misery. Whether you like it or not, there will be sunrises at fixed intervals. Celestial bodies will rotate regardless of your opinion. You are powerless to influence their movement. This proves that there is another will that keeps the universe moving, and it is superior to yours. Can you attune yourself to that will? This quest is Swadhyaya. You try to find happiness through various means. You see a beautiful dog and want to stroke its back. Then the dog bites you, and you feel unhappy. You try to use things and people as a means to your happiness, but most of the time you end up unhappy. This is your daily experience. Will we ever attain bliss by seeking happiness through external objects? Reflecting on this is Swadhyaya. You see beautiful flowers, cut them, and keep them in a vase in your room. Then they wither away. What gave you pleasure a little while before gradually disappears, and you can no longer hold on to it. You have to throw it away. Is there anything that makes you happy forever? Yes. It is the light that shines within you and is independent of anything external. The search for that light is the divine path. This is Swadhyaya. What is karma, good deed? What is akarma, bad deed? What is vikarma, the specific task assigned to a person? Know this, it is Swadhyaya. Placing a formal religious label on oneself is not the purpose of life. Nor is becoming a devotee or disciple of any particular guru. Unfolding the kingdom of light within oneself is the goal of life. That light is eternal truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is the divine path. This is Swadhyaya. The eye is the organ of sight, the ear is the organ of hearing, and so on. It is known that man is made up of body, mind, and intellect. Is there anything beyond this, or anything that penetrates it? The physical senses bring their temptations. Psychic vision brings hidden temptations. Is there anything beyond this? This is Swadhyaya. Every religionist maintains that their window is the only one that sheds light on the divine path. Religion as it is viewed today and the divine path are two different things. Sometimes they are in conflict. Those who talk of proselytizing and strife have not seen the depth of the water through their window. The fivefold path will enable you to see the depth through your own window. The depth is the eternal religion. When you glimpse the profound vision, there will be no more conflict. That is total love. True religion is the science of all sciences. Love thy neighbor as thyself is the highest religion and the highest science. Science is knowledge. Knowledge, with which nothing remains unknown, this is true knowledge. As it is in the microcosm, so it is in the macrocosm. Swadhyaya is that whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Sorrow and grief accompany us throughout our lives. Everyone feels impelled to shed the state of mind and enter into one of bliss. When this impulse consolidates, there is a second birth in the physical body. This is the beginning of the pilgrimage on the divine path, the path of light. The complete cessation of grief, while living in this world, then becomes an ideal of life. This leads us to examine the attitudes of the mind. Then begins the mind training program, the program of renewing the mind and transforming oneself. The program offered in this book is the fivefold path. It is the essence of all the divine teachings that have been offered to humanity. The fivefold path is the oldest program of transformation through the renewal of the mind. It comes from the Vedas, which literally means knowledge. The fivefold path is not a religion, nor is the divine path. Studying the various mind renewal programs offered by prophets and scientists is Swadhyaya. Is man merely a puppet in the hands of fate? What is fate? What is free will? How do we develop the capacity to exercise this free will, to choose between good or bad karma? When the law of cause and effect of the physical realm is transposed to the superphysical realm, it becomes the law of karma, the law of you will reap what you sow. Intense karma, whether good or bad, fructifies in a short time. Repentance is good, intense karma. Do karma without attachment to its fruits. The manifestation of grace is also an aspect of the law of karma. There is no such thing as fatalism. This is only karma yoga, that is, the yoga of action. Each person constructs his or her own destiny. You are not given what you see. However, you are given how to see. This is Swadhyaya. What is knowledge? What is wisdom? Wisdom shows the relationship between various facts gathered by the intellect. Without this relationship, the facts may not be of much use on the journey toward the divine path. Purity of mind leads to wisdom. Agnihotra reduces your effort in this task since it gives impulse to a more subtle substance called the mind. Swadhyaya is knowing and experiencing it. Swadhyaya clarifies our perception of the universe. Better perception leads to better evaluation of the sensory data entering the brain's computer, culminating in right action. Understanding this is Swadhyaya. We have a desire. This manifests as an attitude. By pondering over it, it strengthens, becoming an inclination. A signal is directed to the intellect to find the means to satisfy the desire. The intellect searches for means, wisely or not so wisely, to satisfy the desire. This leads to action and momentary happiness. The person attributes this happiness to the fulfillment of their desire, not its eradication. However, it is the eradication of desire, not its satisfaction, that eliminates the tension in the mind. Knowing how unmanifested desire culminates in visible action and learning about the points where it could be controlled is Swadhyaya. If you are unable to control it, at least learn to observe the mind as it follows the flow of desire and laugh at yourself. This, too, is Swadhyaya. Hold the lamp of knowledge on the threshold of your tongue. Take care of what goes in. This is your diet. Take care of what goes out, that is, your speech. How does food affect the mind? What factors are involved? The journey of the seed that the farmer plants in his fields ends in his stomach. Being a living seed, it is affected by the atmosphere and the thought patterns that collide with it. This influences its quality. Food invigorates your body and mind. The interaction of subtle energies becomes part of this process. Similarly, every time you speak a word, you must exhale through your mouth. Exhaling through the mouth places a heavy burden on mental energy. Therefore, speech is called a sacred gift. We sometimes hear the saying, "Speech is silver, silence is golden." Whatever you say affects the atmosphere. The intensity and power of the expression determine the cumulative effect. Knowing this is Swadhyaya. You can live for a while without eating, but not without the air you breathe. The environment is subject to every possible form of pollution. Noise pollution, industrial pollution, water pollution, nuclear radiation, and pollution due to thought patterns that damage the atmosphere as a result of hatred, greed, and the planning of destruction, all of these affect the atmosphere. Purify it to purify the mind. A purified mind creates its own blissful thought patterns. This is the science of Agnihotra, the simplest of the forms of Yajna, which consists of purifying the atmosphere through the action of fire, which leads to the purification of the mind. We are caught in the grip of environmental pollution, which leads to more psychiatric disorders, mental illness, and the like. All of this distances us from love. The divine path basically states, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the reason for and the purpose of all our efforts. On the path of light, that is, the fivefold path. The path given through the Vedas, love is the passport. The study of the science of Yajna, its effect on prana, its effect on the mind, on pathogenic bacteria, on the absorption of sunlight by water resources, the nourishment of plant life resulting from the creation of some new substances in the atmosphere all are part of Swadhyaya. The mind's mischievous frolics must be reduced to achieve happiness. This leads to concentration, contemplation, and meditation. The practice of meditation purifies the mind. Each person's will becomes a suitable instrument for the supreme omniscient will. This is the development of the light within. Practicing it is swadhyaya. Synchronizing with the supreme will and suppressing the darkness that contains no light brings satisfaction in life, it makes you a better person. You become a better instrument for serving others. Then you remain in the world, but you are not of the world. You experience the fulfillment born of knowledge. The desire and the burdens on the mind disappear. There is no longer alienation when you recognize that the light within you is also the light within your neighbor. You are free. This state cannot be described in words. It is peace beyond understanding, it humbles you like a small child. It is total surrender to the omniscient will. You are free from the bonds of karma. Knowing this is swadhyaya. The question of whether or not you believe in God is irrelevant, nor is it important whether or not you believe in reincarnation. If the law of reincarnation exists, it will believe in you and operate. What does matter is that you transform yourself through the renewing of your mind. This is not escapism, it is clear thinking. It's liberation for you and service to humanity. This is swadhyaya. You are in a deep valley due to the operation of the law of karma, the law of you reap what you sow. Use the same law to purify yourself and ascend. You must begin to make the effort. You take one step, and the light within you showers grace, taking 10 steps for you. This culminates in total surrender to that light. This is eternal bliss. Knowing this is swadhyaya. The experience of the light shining within you can come suddenly and even surprise you when you least expect it. You find the treasure right within you, you distapa that your mind is under your control and that your whole being has become still. You perceive that a great, merciful power has cast its spell over you. You feel that you are that power. Knowing this is swadhyaya. There are 2 kinds of knowledge. Lower knowledge includes all the scriptures, the Vedas, and other sciences. Higher knowledge can never be transmitted verbally or through the written word. A high master, a Sadguru, takes control of your inner mind and plants the seed of knowledge. The Sadguru is love incarnate. You must approach such a master in a spirit of total surrender. How can you find such a great one? Follow the fivefold path, and a bond will automatically be established with you. When you are ready, the master appears and guides you further. The guru shows you the way. The Sadguru takes your hand and guides you toward the goal. He connects you with the unplayed music, Anahata, of the universe. Your journey on the divine path is facilitated. Reflecting on this is swadhyaya. Skill in yoga asanas, physical postures, breathing, and kriya techniques is not the divine path. Being able to guide the kundalini on its upward path is not the divine path. Being able to walk on water or fire is not the divine path. Telepathy and telemetry are not the divine path. Being able to remain buried for several days is not the divine path. Influencing solids by bending them through thought projection is not the divine path. Drinking a bottle of acid, with no apparent effects, is not the divine path. Being able to turn mercury into gold or water into milk is not the divine path. To discourse in a syllogistic, profound, and extensive manner about the Almighty, the soul, the universe, love or the levels of consciousness is not the divine path. Delivering or listening to sermons on the Vedas, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Dhammapada, or the Quran is not the divine path. Reciting daily excerpts from books written by saints, seers, or philosophers is not the divine path. Wearing the ochre robes of a monk or swami is not the divine path. Surrounding oneself with a group of disciples is not the divine path. Regularly attending places of worship is not the divine path. Regularly visiting pilgrimage sites is not the divine path. Being able to exorcise demons is not the divine path. Being able to heal people is not the divine path. Being able to read minds is not the divine path. Divine path. Prophesying is not the divine path. Entering into ecstasies while chanting mantras or reciting psalms is not the divine path. Having visions is not the divine path. Leading a scrupulously ethical life is not the divine path. Sacrificing one's wealth in the service of the poor is not the divine path. Organizing celebrations for Christmas, Krishna's birthday, or Buddha's enlightenment day, Bodhi, is not the divine path. Promoting institutions that teach meditation is not the divine path. It seems strange, but it is true, that all of the above is not the divine path. It is difficult to conceive that leading an ethical life, sacrificing one's wealth in the service of the poor, practicing physical yoga, reading the scriptures, and some of the other things mentioned above are not the divine path. Certainly, some of these can form and become means toward the divine path, the path of light. However, there is an important addition linked to this. When you practice any of the above without considering the basic concept of the science of the renewal of the mind, you can never become the divine path. With correct knowledge and the correct guidance of a guru, whether you drive your car to work, take the baby to daycare, cook for the family, or work in an office or factory becomes the divine path. This brings us to an important field of study. What is the divine path? Consider all of the above in light of what a saint once said, service divided by ego equals devotion. Service divided by ego equals devotion. Any action performed with self-centeredness, leading to egotism, takes us away from the path of light. The study of this is Swadhyaya, Vasanth, Satsang Volume I, printed by the Agnihotra Press Incorporated. When you say, "This is my house," you know that it is not the house. Similarly, you say, "My body, my mind." Therefore, you are neither the body nor the mind. What is the entity that says my body, my mind? The pursuit of this is Swadhyaya. Swadhyaya knows no vacation. You learn from every incident in life. Liberation with a smile can be yours if you follow the fivefold path of Vedic wisdom. The divine path is the journey of bliss and more bliss. Furthermore, a little effort in this direction is never wasted. It is being happy here and now. The fivefold path is the way. Song. By Vasanth Paranjapet. Agnihotra is the way. For all happiness and blessedness. Agnihotra is the way. Clear things up. Purifies the atmosphere. Then prana, then the mind. Don't be one of those who has been left behind. For all happiness and all beatitude. Agnihotra is the way. Dana is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Dana is the way. Treat your possessions like a loan. Sharing with others is a duty. With humility, day by day. That's why Dana is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Dana is the way. Tapa is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Tapa is the way. By no means. Make lust and greed a part of your day. Eliminate your anger and pride. Cast away temptation and envy. Practice every day. Because tapa is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Tapa is the way. Karma is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Karma is the way. Offer the fruits of your actions to the Lord. Make work a form of prayer. You are the reaper of the act. You are the sower of the seed. Thus honors each day. And karma is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Karma is the way. Swadhyaya is the way. Self-knowledge is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. Swadhyaya is the way. Who am I? Who am I? Start your search today. This is how the vision of the soul results. Swadhyaya is the way. Come join us on the fivefold path, find joy every day. Come join us on the fivefold path. You will find that it is the way. For all happiness and all beatitude. The fivefold path is the way. What is homotherapy? Homa is a Sanskrit word used here as a synonym for yajna. Yajna is a technical term used in the Vedic science of bioenergy to express the process of eliminating toxic conditions from the atmosphere through the action of fire. This means using fire as a mediating instrument to heal and purify the atmosphere. You heal the atmosphere, and once it's healthy, the atmosphere heals you. This is the central idea of homotherapy. The expression healing the atmosphere has many ramifications that have yet to be investigated by modern science. Yajna restores the nutrients that pollution steals from the environment. Molecular change in the fission and fusion of atoms causes the properties of elements to change in their structure and atomic weight. It also changes the spin rates of electrons and neutrons. If scientists are given the proper insight, we can demonstrate how this knowledge can be used advantageously in certain areas when viewed from the perspective of yajna. Homotherapy is a revealed science. It is as old as creation itself. Over time, this knowledge was lost, but it has now been resurrected to guide people on how to correct the polluting conditions we find on the planet today. Homotherapy comes from the Vedas, the oldest body of wisdom known to humankind. When things go wrong due to pollution, the elements of nature begin to change. The cohesion of atoms, their fusion, behaves differently, as described in Atharvaveda. It states that if atoms begin to fuse and fission in an inappropriate manner, a civilization can be destroyed. Performing yajna, homa, when this occurs helps restore harmony and produce a new, beneficial element. Note that we don't say created. Nothing is created, it is only restructured. This knowledge is homotherapy. This knowledge can be applied in a variety of areas. The following is an illustrative, non-exhaustive list. In psychotherapy, eliminates stress and tension from the mind. Clears an area of negative thought patterns that dominate the mind. Establishes a positive approach in an area characterized by the love. Decreases anger and self-destructive habit patterns. It awakens the motivation to break free from addiction to drugs, alcohol, and other destructive habits. In agriculture, it proposes the cultivation of vegetables, fruits, grains, and other foods without chemical fertilizers, insecticides, pesticides, herbicides. Instead, it strengthens the delicate energy system of plants, causing hormonal changes in the reproductive organs of pests, etc. A large amount of food can be grown within a small area of land, introducing self-sustaining microclimatic techniques based on the phases of the sun and moon and the Homa fire. In the environment, purifies the air we breathe by removing toxins from the atmosphere. Purifies contaminated water. Improves the nutritional content of the space between two planets. It seeds the clouds so that they precipitate nutrient rains. In medicine, it has medicinal powers for humans, animals, and plants. It produces a Homa atmosphere and Homa ash to prevent and cure diseases, as established in Ayurveda. It neutralizes the effects produced in the body by ingesting radioactive foods. Thousands of people, mostly from North and South America, Western and Eastern Europe, have benefited from homotherapy techniques in many of the areas mentioned. Agnihotra. Agnihotra is a gift to humanity from the most ancient Vedic sciences of bioenergy, medicine, agriculture, and climate engineering. Agnihotra is the process of purifying the atmosphere through the action of fire prepared in a copper pyramid, tuned to the biorhythm of sunrise and sunset. Through the practice of Agnihotra, you will notice that mental tension disappears and you begin to experience peace. The mind is restructured so gently, so delicately, so effortlessly, by sitting in the atmosphere of Agnihotra, facilitating one to always react with love. Effects of Agnihotra. The following are some of the things said about Agnihotra in the ancient scientific tradition. An enormous amount of energy is concentrated around the copper Agnihotra pyramid, precisely at Agnihotra time. This creates a type of magnetic field in which negative energies are neutralized and positive energies are reinforced. Therefore, a positive pattern is created by the person practicing Agnihotra, simply by doing so. When you perform Agnihotra, the smoke collects harmful radiation particles from the atmosphere and neutralizes their radioactive effects at a very subtle level. Nothing is destroyed, only changed. When the Agnihotra fire is lit, not only are the fire's energies present, but subtle energies are also created by the rhythms and mantras. These energies are generated or released into the atmosphere by the fire. The quality of the materials burned must also be considered to achieve the full effect of this therapeutic homa. A great deal of healing energy emanates from the Agnihotra pyramid. The nature of Agnihotra. Agnihotra renews brain cells. It revitalizes the skin. It purifies the blood. It is the holistic approach to life. Agnihotra has the ability to neutralize pathogenic bacteria. You sit by the Agnihotra fire and breathe the smoke, which quickly enters the bloodstream and lungs. This has an excellent effect on the circulatory system, and this effect is enhanced if the ash is ingested. Smoke has a beneficial effect on the brain and nervous system. If plants are placed in a room where the vibrations of the Agnihotra pyramid fire are maintained, a person with sufficient acuity can actually see growth, communication between them, etc. The plants receive nourishment from the Agnihotra atmosphere, become happy, and grow well. Just as the Agnihotra pyramid fire nourishes plants, it provides the same for human and animal life. The sun brings or carries the energy that creates conditions conducive to anti-pollution change. Calm the world. The pyramid is the generator, the fire is the turbine, the cow dung, the ghee, clarified butter made from cow's milk, and the rice interact to form a composition that is released, surrounding, neutralizing, and nourishing matter. Then, with organic substances, this provides the nutrients for survival, performance, and propagation. This is how the Agnihotra fire heals the atmosphere, on a physical level. Thousands of people from all continents, belonging to different races, languages, religions, and spiritual groups who practice Agnihotra, have stated that simply by performing the daily homa, Agnihotra at sunrise and sunset, they feel as if a protective film envelopes them. Materials for Agnihotra. Pyramid, for Agnihotra, you need a copper pyramid of a specific size. Copper is an energy conductor. During morning Agnihotra, all the electricity, energies, and ethers are drawn into the pyramid shape. At sunset, they withdraw, emitting energies in pyramid shapes. Rice, brown rice. Processed rice loses its nutritional value, which is why brown rice is used. Only whole grains should be used for Agnihotra. If the rice is broken, the subtle energy structure is disturbed, making it unsuitable for the healing fire of Agnihotra, and the ash will not heal. Ghee, clarified butter. Take unsalted cow's milk butter, and if possible, one that doesn't have any chemical additives. Heat it over low heat. After the white solids have risen to the surface, strain the liquid through a fine sieve. The strained liquid is clarified butter, ghee. It can last a long time without refrigeration. Ghee is a very special medicinal substance. When used in the Agnihotra fire, it acts as a carrier of subtle energies. Powerful energy is contained in ghee. Dry cow manure, dehydrated. Take cow dung, male or female. If it's fresh, shape it into pancakes or biscuits and dry it in the sun. The Agnihotra fire should be prepared with this dung. Cow dung is used as medicine in all ancient cultures, whether Indian, native to North or South America, Scandinavia, Eastern and Western Europe, Africa, or Asia. How to prepare the fire of Agnihotra. Place a piece of dried cow dung at the bottom of the copper pyramid. Arrange pieces of dung smeared with ghee in the pyramid so that air can circulate between them. Apply a little ghee to a small piece of dung and light it a few minutes before the exact moment of sunrise or sunset. Insert the lit piece into the pyramid. Soon all the dung in the pyramid will ignite. You can use a hand fan to blow air and help the flame. However, do not blow with your mouth to prevent bacteria from entering the fire. Agnihotra process. Place a few grains of rice in a saucer or in your left palm, placed at the level of your heart, and apply a few drops of ghee. Exactly at sunrise, chant the first mantra. Immediately after the word Swaha, add a few grains of rice to the fire with your right hand, as many as you can hold between your middle fingertips. Chant the second mantra. Immediately after the word Swaha, add a few grains of rice to the fire with your right hand. At sunset, do the same using the evening mantras. If you don't do it at the exact time, it is not Agnihotra and you will not get the healing effect either in the atmosphere or in the ashes. After each Agnihotra session, remain in meditation for as many minutes as possible. You may sit at least until the fire goes out. Agnihotra creates a medicinal and healing atmosphere. Just before the next Agnihotra, place the ash in a glass or clay container. It can be used for plants or as a base for making homemade medicines. Mantrams. Vibrations exist everywhere. Where there is vibration, there is sound. If we simplify it to the utmost, everything is vibration. When we chant these mantras, the sounds we chant activate these vibrations, which create a certain atmosphere of effects. Then the desired results are realized. These vibrations exist for everything, therefore, anything can be activated, controlled, or changed through mantras. When someone, with a pure mind, pronounces the mantra in front of the Agnihotra pyramid, at the precise moment of Agnihotra, the ash retains that energy and its healing properties become more powerful. Agnihotra mantras. At sunrise. Suryaha Suryaha. Add the first portion of rice mixed with ghee to the fire. Suryaha Idam Na Mama. Prayapatei Suryaha. Add the second portion of rice mixed with ghee to the fire. Prayapatei Idam Na Mama. This completes the morning Agnihotra. At sunset. Agnei Suryaha. Add the first portion of rice mixed with ghee to the fire. Agnei Idam Na Mama. Prayapatei Suryaha. Add the second portion of rice mixed with ghee to the fire. Prayapatei Idam Na Mama. This completes the evening Agnihotra. Other recommendations for the practice of Agnihotra. 1. Define one side of the pyramid that always faces east. You can make a small mark on the edge. You should also ensure that the pyramid is above the basal, sex, chakra. Ideally, above the navel or at chest level. 2. The person who does the Agnihotra game should face east in the morning and west in the afternoon. 3. Those attending the games may remain silent, wear no shoes, and, if possible, freshly showered and wearing clean clothes. If they cannot or cannot afford to shower, they must have washed their hands, mouth, and feet. 4. In the room where the medicinal fire is performed, there should be no electric lights on, nor should there be any burning candles, matches, or other mineral fuels. 5. The game must be understood well in advance, so that at the time of the offering it is burning brightly. 6. The ghee should be kept topped as clean as possible. 7. The exact sunrise and sunset times for your location can be found on our website. Website, www.terapiahoma.com. More info. For contacts worldwide check the links in. Webpage, homa1.com. Content. Introduction. The Fivefold Path. 1. Yagna, Agnihotra. Purification of the atmosphere. 2. Dhyan, sharing belongings with a spirit of humility. 3. Tapa, self-discipline. 4. Karma, good deeds without attachment. 5. Swadhyaya, self-study. Who am I? The Fivefold Path is the way, song. Appendix. What is homotherapy?